First Peter in the Word of God. And this is going to be a familiar passage, I think, to many of us, especially as Bible readers. First Peter chapter 5. The title of the message this afternoon is The Unsettling Work of God. The Unsettling Work of God. And it's something that's going to come into each one of our lives as Christians. It's a part of, as some would say, the warp and woof of life. And so if you're at 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verses 8 down through 11. Notice what the Word of God says in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 11. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want you to notice verse 10. That's going to be the main source of our text. Verse 10 says, But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, notice, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. In verse 10, there are three words that I especially like. They all begin with the letter S, so the Word of God does alliterate itself at times. They're the words establish, the word strengthen, and settle. I especially like the word settle. I'm sure you like the word settle. Do you like having a career that is settled? Do you like having health that is settled? Do you like having finances that are settled? Do you like having a family and a home and relationships that are settled? We probably would agree that we like life to be settled. How many times have we thought, if we could just get settled, if we could just get X settled, if we could just this or that? Sometimes we think we'd like to have our health settled, but then our finances are not, or our finances are settled, but then our health is not. However, it is very rare in life to have all things settled. Very rare. King Solomon observed in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes that there is a time for multiple things. There is a time to be born, a time to die. There is a time to plant, a time to pluck up, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down and to build up, a time to cast away, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to gather, a time to embrace, to refrain from embracing, to lose, to keep, to rend and to sow, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. That right there speaks of very rarely having all things settled. Solomon observed that. In the warp and woof of life, rare is the situation of long stretches where everything is just fine. Now, I want to remind us this afternoon that in the midst of the warp and woof of life, it is the God of all grace that desires to settle us in those unsettled times. He's the God of all grace, and that's his desire. So, as we get into the message, I want you to notice with me this afternoon first, God's method for settling us when life becomes unsettled. God's method. The Bible says in verse 10 of our text, way down in the middle, it says this, after that ye have suffered a while. After that ye have suffered a while. Now, brethren, here's the inconvenient truth. God's allowance of unsettling situations proceeds his work of settling us. He does allow unsettling situations in our lives. and that will always precede his settling work. First there is suffering or unsettling, and then there is settling. That is God's method. And first he allows us to be unsettled so that he can settle us. Letter A, I want you to notice that this work, this method of God, is very contrary to our nature. It is very contrary to our nature. Notice that same phrase again, after that ye have suffered a while. That phrase starts with after, and then it ends with a while. So if you put those together, you have after a while. How many of you like to be settled for a while? That does not go with our nature, does it? That is contrary to our nature. When something comes into our life that's very unsettling, whether it's a health diagnosis, whether it's something financial. And of course, when Peter, and we'll get to the context of 1 Peter here in a little bit, but when Peter was writing to these Christians, it wasn't necessarily health issues / financial problems they were facing. It was deep, dark persecution. But nonetheless, unsettling things, okay? So when something unsettling comes into our lives, how many of us like to remain in that state for a while? None of us. None of us. But notice God's method here. It is contrary to our nature, is it not? After that you have suffered a while. God's method is usually not to allow the unsettledness to end immediately. That's not usually his method, but it is rather after a while. That's contrary to our nature. Again, when Peter opens this epistle, he opens it in chapter 1 with an address to scattered believers. You can read that in verse 1. When you think of scattering, you're thinking of an unsettled time. Something that's been scattered around has often been the result of an unsettling situation. And in this case, the unsettling situation is Nero on the throne. Persecution of Christians. These people are under great persecution, and they are scattered underneath of that persecution. God has allowed that to happen. And notice, Peter says, the very trying of their faith, according to verse 7, tried with the word fire. So it's a fiery trial. And according to verse 6 of chapter 1, great heaviness. And in fact, manifold temptations. Not just one. Not just one problem, but manifold temptations. And it's in that context that the Apostle Peter says in our text, after a while. How many of those believers do you think liked to hear that? Now, while God's method is contrary to our nature, it is, letter B, critical for our nurture. It is critical for our nurture. Notice the center of the phrase, 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, notice, after what? That ye have suffered. That ye have suffered. We don't like to suffer. We don't like unsettling times, but divine allowances of suffering work in our lives a pleasing work in the sight of God. Just a simple illustration of that would be sometimes our children don't like to study for a test. They suffer under the rigors of school. It taxes their mind and so on and so forth. But we do that as parents. We put our children through that horrible suffering for a reason, don't we? We put them through a horrible... It is for their nurture, is it not? Okay? God does the same with his children. And he is a good, loving, heavenly father. No child of his escapes this nurturing. No child of his. Okay? Now, we don't like to suffer, but God allows it. And he allows that suffering to do in his sight a pleasing work. To us at the time, it does not seem pleasing. It's not fun, okay? Now, as it relates to our nurturing as Christians, we have an Old Testament example of what happens if God does not unsettle either a people, a nation, or a person. In Jeremiah 48 and verse 11, the Bible records, Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed." Now obviously Israel had been unsettled. God had unsettled the nation of Israel, in part because of their disobedience and so on and so forth. They had been brought into captivity. You can read through the book of Judges time and time and time again. They would be brought into captivity. They would repent. God would raise up a judge and Israel would be delivered, and they would go for 30, 40 years or so. And then pretty soon, God had to unsettle them again. But he never allowed Moab to be unsettled. He just left Moab alone. And the Bible says, "Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed." Now in that verse, the expression being emptied from vessel to vessel is an expression of turmoil, of upheaval, captivity. It's an expression of coming under a yoke, hard bondage. Moab never went through that. Moab had been at his ease. Moab had been at ease from his youth. And the Bible says, "His taste remained in him, and his scent changed not." It was basically like a pond that had never been stirred. It began to stink. So God unsettles us so that, in the sense of the illustration, we would not develop that same top, shall we say, that a pond would. So God's method of allowing us to be stirred, he might settle us, he might nurture us. Therefore, 1 Peter 5 and verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." So we see God's method. Number two, notice God's measure for settling us. God's measure. Verse 10, 1 Peter 5 verse 10 says, "But the God of all grace." But the God of all grace. The unsettling allowances of God in our lives are of such a nature. And Peter uses terms like fiery trial, suffering, heaviness, manifold temptations. But so grievous are these times that to establish us, that to strengthen us and to settle us, it will not take a bigger paycheck. It will not take that relationship that you think you need with some other person. It will not take that certain thing in this life. It will take the very God of all grace to settle you. The very God of all grace. That's the measure. He is the measure for settling us. So let's briefly look at God's measure, at him. Letter A, notice the source of grace. The Bible says, "But the God of all grace." Where is this grace coming from? It is from God. He is the source of this grace. God himself is the measure for settling us. Now, here is the danger. We have an adversary that is very crafty. He's very crafty, and he will try to convince us that maybe God is the problem for allowing us to suffer. Has a child ever thought, "I want to understand why mom and dad are doing this to me? Why are they making me go? Why do I have to go back out there and mow the yard the right way?" As God's children, sometimes we may think similar things with God. And we have an adversary that sits right there, ready to put in our minds thoughts. Maybe God is the problem. Let's blame God for this. But what is God? He's the source of the grace that you need to become settled again. He's the source. God is the one that is nurturing us in these times. And he is the only one that can settle us through these times. So who's this adversary? Well, we read about him in our text. Verses 8 and 9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." One thing to remember here is you're not the only one being unsettled. I'm not the only one going through unsettled times. These same afflictions are being accomplished in our brethren around the world. They also have the same adversary we have. And the adversary is there to roar into our minds and roar into our thinking and roar into our outlook and perspective that maybe God is the culprit here. That God's not being fair. That why would God allow this to happen? But keep in mind, brethren, God is the source of the grace you need to become settled again. He's not the problem. He's not the problem. So God's measure for settling us, He is the source of grace. Letter B, notice the sufficiency of this grace. The sufficiency. Verse 10 says, all grace. Notice that. But the God of how much grace? All grace. There's a sufficiency there. Regardless of the trial, regardless of how hard the time might be, there is not some grace. There is not most grace. There's all grace. Are you not thankful that God is so liberal with His grace? Yes, amen. Let me ask, if God Himself is sufficient enough to help you through this, let me ask you this, is God Himself sufficient enough to help you through your unsettled time? And the question is, the answer is yes. It is yes. The Apostle Paul went through on some unsettling times. Certainly, and in one particular area where he was very unsettled, an area in which he really struggled with for a period of time. Notice what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, as we're looking at the sufficiency of God's grace, notice how sufficient His grace is. Hebrews 4. The Bible says in verses 15 through 16, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's available. It's available. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. One of the fascinating things about that verse is the word all. All grace, all sufficiency, and all things. So we see God's method for settling us, His measure for settling us. And notice with me last, as we look at this unsettling work of God, these allowances that He lets in our lives, number three, God's mercy to settle us. Now we come to a part that we like in verse 10. Notice, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Notice the mercy of God on display in this verse. Letter A, the ending of the suffering. The ending of the suffering. Now, we looked at that phrase a while earlier. There's another side to that coin. In other words, there is an expiration on that. Notice it doesn't say indefinitely. It says a while. It does not say eternally. It says a while. Notice the ending of the suffering. A while does not mean this is going to go on forever. And that is the mercy of God. That is the mercy of God in your situation. The Bible says this too shall pass. Now, sometimes we exaggerate and think that a while is forever. How many that are just going to be starting school think to themselves, oh, another grade. This is never going to end. Those of you who have been through school know that it goes by all too fast, right? The psalmist dealt with this very problem. There's a tension here on this coin. On the one hand, it's for a while. On the other hand, it's only for a while. Those are two different things, even though they sound the same. So there's a tension there. And the psalmist says in Psalm 77, verses 8 through 10, is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Have you ever felt like that? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Verse 9. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Verse 10 says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Yes, we have this infirmity, don't we? Where a while seems like forever. Where a while seems like his mercies are clean gone. Where in the middle of the situation, God has forgotten to be gracious. And his promises have failed in the time of need and his anger. Oh, no. That is our frailty, brethren, when we think that. That is not God. Lamentations 3, the Bible says in verses 22 and 23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So as we see God's mercy in settling us, in that our trials and afflictions are not forever, there is this expiration date on every trial. Notice letter B. We see the expectation of the suffering. Notice verse 10 of our text. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, notice, make you. See those two words? Make you perfect. Now, typically when we think of being settled, at least at the onset of our unsettling times, we tend to think of trying to get life back to normal. Whatever we perceived normal to be before the hammer dropped or the shoe fell or however you want to look at that. But brethren, that's a misconception. God's not taking us back to what was normal. He's making us. Job 23 and verse 10 says this, but he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. He does not say, I shall come forth as I was. I shall come forth as gold. We're not going back to what was the old reality when God's done. No, we're going forward to a new reality. James wrote in 1 Peter. He wrote Peter, right? Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto something in particular. Unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We're not going back to life as we once knew it. Otherwise, there would be no need to unsettle us. The expectation is rather this. You will find that God's unsettling work brings you to a new reality. And here's the bonus. A new reality in which you are now stronger, more established, and more settled than you were before. The trial of your faith unto praise and honor and glory. Ultimately, this is part of being conformed to the image of Christ. In some sense, the process of sanctification that is ongoing in the life of the believer. And so, brethren, I would encourage all of us this afternoon, learn to embrace the allowances of God and embrace His method. Go before the throne and request a measure of grace to help in time of need. And rejoice and be thankful that God is merciful, that His compassions fail not. And lastly, remember this, God has not forgotten you, nor where you are at. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And remember this, Lamentations 3 and verse 6. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so